Hello and welcome to GCSE Physics Essentials. I'm your host, and today we're diving into one of the most exam-friendly topics in the entire specification, distance-time graphs. Now, I know graphs might not sound thrilling, but trust me, this is one of those topics where you can rack up easy marks if you know the tricks. By the end of this episode, you'll be able to look at any distance-time graph and instantly tell what's happening, calculate speeds like a pro, and avoid the classic mistakes that trip up thousands of students every year. This topic appears in OCR GCSE Physics Specification 1.6, and it's tested across both foundation and higher tiers. The good news? The core principles are the same for everyone. The difference is that higher tier students need to master one extra skill, using tangents to find instantaneous speed on curved lines. Don't worry, we'll cover that too. So grab a pen, maybe sketch along as we go, and let's make sure you're fully prepared to smash those exam questions. Core concepts. 5 minutes. Right, let's start with the absolute basics. What is a distance-time graph? Simple. It's a graph where time is on the x-axis, usually measured in seconds, and distance is on the y-axis, measured in meters. The line on the graph shows you how far an object has traveled over time. Easy, right? But here's where students start making mistakes. The shape of the line tells you everything about the motion. Let's break down the four key scenarios you need to recognize instantly. First, a horizontal line. If you see a flat, horizontal line on a distance-time graph, that means the object is stationary. The distance isn't changing, so the speed is zero. This is worth one mark in the exam, and it's a gift, so don't confuse it with velocity-time graphs where a horizontal line means constant speed. On a distance-time graph, horizontal equals stopped, full stop. Second, a straight diagonal line sloping upwards. This means the object is moving at a constant speed. The steeper the line, the faster the object is going. A gentle slope means slow and steady, like a leisurely walk. A steep slope means fast, like a sprint. The key word here is constant because the gradient or steepness isn't changing. Third, a curved line that's getting steeper. This is where things get interesting. If the line curves upwards and the gradient is increasing, that means the object is accelerating. Its speed is increasing over time. You'll see this a lot in questions about cars speeding up or objects in free fall. Fourth, a curved line that's getting less steep. This means the object is decelerating or slowing down. The gradient is decreasing, so the speed is dropping. Now, here's the golden rule that will save you marks. The gradient of a distance-time graph equals the speed. Not velocity, not acceleration, speed. And gradient means rise over run, or change in distance divided by change in time. Let me say that again because it's crucial. Speed equals change in distance divided by change in time. Let's do a quick example. Imagine you have a straight line on a distance-time graph. At 0 seconds, the object is at 0 meters. At 10 seconds, it's at 50 meters. To find the speed, you calculate the gradient. Change in distance is 50 minus 0, which is 50 meters. Change in time is 10 minus 0, which is 10 seconds. So speed equals 50 divided by 10, which is 5 meters per second. Boom, one mark for the working, one mark for the answer with units. Now here's a top examiner tip. Always pick 2 points on the line that are as far apart as possible. Why? Because it minimizes reading errors. If you pick 2 points that are really close together, a tiny mistake in reading the graph can throw off your whole calculation. Spread them out and you'll get a much more accurate answer. Okay, now for the higher tier students, tangents. If you're on foundation, you can skip this bit, but if you're aiming for those top grades, listen up. When you have a curved line, the speed is changing, right? So how do you find the speed at one specific moment in time? You draw a tangent. A tangent is a straight line that just touches the curve at one point. You literally get your ruler, line it up so it's just kissing the curve at the time you're interested in, and draw a straight line. Then you calculate the gradient of that tangent line exactly like we did before. That gradient gives you the instantaneous speed at that exact moment. Examiners often award one mark just for drawing the tangent correctly, so make sure it's neat and accurate. Use a sharp pencil and a ruler. Then pick 2 points on your tangent line as far apart as possible and calculate the gradient. Change in distance over change in time. Easy marks if you follow the method. Exam tips and common mistakes. 2 minutes. All right, let's talk about the mistakes that cost students marks every single year. Mistake number one, confusing distance-time graphs with velocity-time graphs. I cannot stress this enough. On a distance-time graph, a horizontal line means stationary. On a velocity time graph, a horizontal line means constant speed. They are not the same. Always check the y-axis label first. If it says distance, horizontal means stopped. Mistake number two, calculating the gradient backwards. Remember, it's rise over run, not run over rise. That means change in distance divided by change in time, not the other way around. If you flip it, your answer will be completely wrong. Mistake number three, trying to find instantaneous speed by dividing the coordinates. Some students see a curve and think, oh, I'll just divide the y value by the x value at that point. No, that doesn't work. You must draw a tangent and calculate its gradient. Mistake number four, forgetting to convert units. If the time axis is in minutes, but the question asks for speed in meters per second, you need to convert minutes to seconds first. This is a really common trap, and it can cost you multiple marks. Here's a command word tip. If the question says calculate, you must show you're working. Write down the formula, substitute the numbers, and show the steps. If you just write the final answer, you'll lose marks even if it's correct. Examiners are looking for your method. And one more thing, always include units in your final answer. Speed without units is meaningless. Is it meters per second, kilometers per hour? The question will usually tell you, so make sure you use the right ones. Quickfire recall quiz 1 minute. Okay, time for a quickfire quiz to test what you've learned. I'll ask a question, pause for a moment, and then give you the answer. Ready? Question one. What does a horizontal line on a distance time graph represent? Pause. Answer, the object is stationary. Speed is zero. Question two. What does the gradient of a distance time graph tell you? Pause. Answer, the speed of the object. Question three. How do you calculate the gradient? Pause. Answer, change in distance divided by change in time. Rise over run. Question four. What does a steeper gradient mean? Pause. Answer, a higher speed. Question five. How do you find instantaneous speed on a curved line? Pause. Answer, draw a tangent at that point and calculate its gradient. Great job if you got those right. If you didn't, go back and listen to the core concepts section again. Summary and sign off. 1 minute. All right, let's wrap this up. Distance time graphs are all about understanding what the shape of the line tells you and knowing how to calculate speed from the gradient. Horizontal lines mean stationary. Straight diagonal lines mean constant speed. Curves mean the speed is changing, either accelerating or decelerating. And the gradient, calculated as change in distance over change in time, always gives you the speed. For higher tier students, don't forget the tangent method for curved lines. Draw it carefully, calculate the gradient, and you'll pick up those extra marks. Remember the common mistakes. Don't confuse distance time graphs with velocity time graphs. Always calculate gradient as rise over run, show you're working, and include units. This topic is worth around 10% AO1, 60% AO2, and 30% AO3, so it's heavily focused on applying your knowledge to interpret and analyze graphs. Practice as many past paper questions as you can, and you'll be absolutely fine. Thanks for listening to GCSE Physics Essentials. Good luck with your revision, and I'll see you in the next episode.